Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Pete's here like he is all throughout the season on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. 1-1 back at Target Center Friday night, Wolves and Lakers. Many things to like about Saturday night. Last night, what bothered you most about the loss?
I think it's, you know, Julius had kind of a, you know, obviously Julius was productive. He had 27 points in the game, 9 of 17. He had 9 free throw attempts, and Minnesota actually out free throwed the team that is the second leading team in the NBA in terms of percentage of points scored off of free throws. So LeBron and Luka get a pretty favorable whistle,
to say the least.
But Minnesota actually had more free throw attempts, and actually, yeah, you know, they had 21 fouls in the first game. It was 21-10 in terms of personal fouls in the first game. But
with the Wolves 21 fouls.
Right. The Wolves had 20 fouls, yep, and Lakers had 10, but they only shot 6 more free throws than Minnesota. So
yeah,
it hasn't been the free throwing part hasn't been a bad, but it was, I guess it was like, you know, Julius was kind of dominating the ball a little bit too much, initiating offense a lot. Like a lot of things were going through him, which, you know, he was one of the only guys that could actually get, any kind of traction offensively.
How many phones do you have? I mean, what's going on? Well, you're talking on yourself.
It's my son calling me on my phone, and I have my computer open, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, you're busy.
I just got home from L.A. too. By the way, I was up at the crack of dawn, 3:30 in the morning, to take the 6 a.m. home.
So I appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate it.
The team leaves like they leave at like 11 o'clock West Coast time, so it means it's 1 o'clock here, which means they aren't getting home till 4:35 o'clock. So
throws the day away.
This is just burn your whole day.
Yeah,
but anyway,
so here's what I'm going to say about Julius. Let me jump in on that. Because I think he did that because Conley was giving you nothing. Naw was giving you nothing.
Yep.
Nas was giving you nothing. Dante was in foul trouble. I have learned to appreciate Julius Randle more by the game. I mean, you and I talked about this a lot. Before this year, I was down on Julius. I thought he was overrated. And there are times when it's pounding, and there was a lot of it. But when this team wasn't ready for the physicality that the Lakers showed, you know who was?
Right.
Julius, the entire game. And you know who he outplayed last night? LeBron bleeping James, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He was taking it at him.
I was saying that during the game. I mean, if it wasn't for
Julius,
I don't know what would have happened. And so I was saying that I said at the end of the game, I mean, like, he did outplay LeBron James. And as many plays, because LeBron made so many plays, Chad, that looked like old LeBron James, man. He does not look 40 years of age, man. He made some just jaw-dropping. And to be there in the arena to see how much bigger he is than everybody else, too, you have to I always say, if you haven't seen LeBron James play in person, you've really missed something. I would
agree.
Try to encourage every fan to come out.
Do you have some tickets for Friday night? Is that what you're telling me? Dave, it sounds like...
Are you coming?
You
got to wrangle him away from Tika Pete first.
I can't Friday, but I'm in the house Sunday. I'll swing by and say hello when you're probably working radio Sunday, right?
On Sunday, yeah, working with Horton, yeah.
Yeah, I'll swing by. I'll swing. Okay. Here's what I say about LeBron. He had a lot of great moments, but he and his partner, they were going on fumes in the fourth quarter. Absolutely going on fumes. Luka, who, I'm sorry, is just out of shape. He just, for an NBA player, he's out of shape. And LeBron is 40, and they were exhausted. And that's why, I mean, they were short on shots. They had brilliant moments earlier. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you 1,000%. But when they kept cutting, the Wolves kept cutting it to 9 and 11, I just thought if they could get two more shots, they could win that game. And that's why I think pace is so important for fourth quarter to extend the energy of those guys. Reeves is better. I got it. I like him. If he's your third player, you're pretty good. But Jim, after that, their drop off from their top three is about as stark as any playoff team in the league, and there's no comparison with the Wolves' depth to the Lakers' depth. Now, I get it. The Wolves' second best player is not LeBron bleeping James. And we can debate even if it's Austin Reeves. I actually think the Rudy Julius combo matches up. But man, their talent is dramatically falls after those top three guys.
Yeah, you know, the thing for me, like the key for this thing, is everybody talks about matchups so much. You know, yep. You talk about defense, like who's going to guard Luka, who's going to guard LeBron, how you going to match up, who does Mike guard, all that kind of stuff. I just think that is, for me, watching this team, is it's not irrelevant, but I'm saying to me, who's going to score is the biggest problem.
Yeah,
like, I think we need to score.
Yes.
And so, like, I'm always thinking offense with this team because the volatility, as we've seen from game one to game two, is massive.
Right.
I mean, 25 points for Jaden McDaniels in game one, 8 in game two.
Yep.
23 points for Naz Reid in game one, 9 points, and you got a lot of that late, too.
Late.
So,
irrelevant.
And, you know, Dante didn't add anything to the mix. Mm-hmm. He was a minus 17. Mike mm-hmm. didn't score 0-5.
No.
Rudy was ineffective. I mean, Nikhil, as much as I love him, like he was so great in that game in Denver at the end of the season when he had 26
yep.
points in that game when they
right.
needed him to score. And then he can just completely disappear.
He was irrelevant last night.
So this is the volatility of this team. It's hard to ink anybody in except for Ant and Julius into the scoring column.
Yeah, that you're 100% right. You absolutely nailed it. And how many times in a few of our chat conversations, our threads, have we debated, okay, if you could bring back, because Julius is going to opt out, right? So then you got three free agents. You got Julius, you got Naw, and you got Naz. And you can make an argument for any of the three saying, sadly, you got to shake their hands. Well, ideally, you'd love to bring them all back, but can they financially do it? Most likely not. Okay, so who do you just have to bite the bullet and say we can't bring him back because they're so much better with all three? But Julius has been way more consistent than Naz and Naw. Like, I saw somebody voted Naz sixth man of the year, and I really like Naz. But he was appreciably more consistent last year. He's had games like he had in game one when he's great. But he's also had way more games this year like he did last night, which is befuddling to me when he still should be on the uptick.
Yeah, he's had some stinkers, and you know, I think that with Naz, like, I'm just always wondering if he's ready to be like the everyday guy because, yep. like, Chad, you know, to be that everyday guy, if you're going to be the number two to Anthony Edwards, you got to bring it every night. I mean,
correct.
Like, you got to have you got to be able to score 16 to 25 every night. And Naz has too many of those games where he can be taken out of it if his shot's not falling because he can get into foul trouble. He can also, you know, get cold a little bit. But, his mindset was a little bit different when he was getting those starting games. When Julius was out and he was starting.
That was his best stretch.
That was his best stretch. But Minnesota didn't win.
No.
They didn't win those games. Of course, you know, you're relying on some of the younger guys in that same thing because Rudy was out too when Julius was hurt. So you kind of were missing both of them, which isn't really fair to Naz. But in any event, I just think that Julius was fantastic. They were running through him for exactly the reason that you mentioned, that, you know, those other guys weren't doing anything and it was up to him to keep us in the game, and he did. And Ant finally came along a little bit too. But look, like, they held the Lakers to fewer points in game two than they did in game one.
Yeah, right.
The Lakers scored 95 points in game one, and you're holding a team down that's pretty, you know, like, they have some pretty good scores. I mean, their first three, obviously, but they have other guys that can get the ball in the hoop. And you know, but the Wolves actually did a better job defensively. It held them to 20% shooting from outside the arc. There's 6 of 29 for them. The problem was Minnesota was 5 of 25 from
awful.
Three. I mean,
awful.
The three-point disparity, see, that's the thing for me, is that they just can't have these wild swings.
Yeah, you can't go 21 of 42 to 5 of 25. Let's pause here. I think some of the reason why the defense was good too, Jim, and I'm going to emphasize again, LeBron and Luka were on fumes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and I get it from a 40-year-old, and Luka is a sublime player, but he's chubby. I'm sorry, he's just chubby. And he gets
annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. God, he's annoying. Honestly. Oh my! I just
he's so annoying.
I think at one point in one of our threads, I said I hate Luca. I yeah. And I don't. But God, I hate the how mouthy he gets and the whining. Even when there's a fast break and he's getting worked and he's complaining the refs. But because he's Luca, he gets away with a lot of you know what. All right, put Jim on hold. Way more on the Wolves, including right when we come back. If you thought the Wolves were going to win at the start of this series, should you feel better about your position right now or status quo? I don't think you can feel worse if they go 1-1. Are you status quo or should you feel better? Jim Pete's back with us. I want to talk Pella. Pella windows and doors. Jim's had like 19 houses. I'm sure he's lived in a house with Pella windows and doors, and I bet he remembers it. I have lived in the same house for just short of a couple decades now. I've lived in that neighborhood for over a couple decades, and Pella windows and doors have been the match, and I am elated about it because 100 years, yep, they're celebrating 100 years in business, and they show it with exceptional quality. How about the service? How about the innovation? How about the great warranties? How about making your project work with the styles they have, and most importantly, your budget? You got Jim Peep money. You can put in all new windows. You're fine. If you just want to make a couple changes, PellaNorthland.com is the place to go. Go to one of their showrooms in Plymouth or Woodbury. Go online, sign up for a free, I repeat, free consultation where they'll come out to your house. I am a 100% believer, including I'm moving, and the next place, Pella Windows and Doors, of course, right now through the end of this month. And by the way, it's April 23rd, so jump on board. $750 off your Pella project. And, not one or the other, and 0% APR for 12 months. PellaNorthland.com. There's a mutual friend of ours who just texts and wants to know if you played any golf out there. I'm going to guess no, that you didn't bring the sticks out there because Tika was there and it was the playoffs. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Thank you. Thank you. I mentioned the story the other day. Let's just mention again because I ran out of gas at the same time and was making fun of myself for that.
I forgot to call you back about that.
Yeah, that was just brilliance by me completely. But you ran into Adam Sandler.
I did, yeah. Yeah. It was he's living at the hotel we stay at in Beverly Hills.
Because of the fire?
His home partially burned down, but it's toxic, so he had to move out, and so he's living at the hotel. And so I rode down the elevator with him with his big bulldog. He's got a bulldog, and he had these big basketball shorts on and some basketball shoes, and he had a puffy coat on, which is kind of weird because it wasn't that cold out.
That is an odd.
Yeah, shorts, basketball shoes, and a puffy coat and a bulldog.
And a bulldog,
He looked semi-homeless. And then, so then I saw him then, and then I saw him actually later on in the day coming back into the hotel with the bulldog. And then Tika and I were going to a restaurant in Beverly Hills. We were walking over so we see him on the street walking our way. We were going to the Beverly Grill. That it's like Hillstone. It's like Houston's, where it is, Chad. You've been there before. Yeah. So Adam's coming from that direction. I have no idea where he's coming from. He's walking on the street. And so now I'm seeing him for the third time.
He's got to think you're stalking him at this point.
Well, I mean, it's completely random. I mean, we're going in one direction. He's going on the other.
Sure,
he's going back towards the hotel. So Tika stops him and asks him for a picture. Did I send you the picture?
You did. It's a good picture. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he looks terrified. He's worried about stalking.
he's cracking us up, and so we took a picture. We go to the Beverly Grill, and we're sitting there at the bar, and
he comes back
in. Five minutes later, well, Tika had said, I wonder if he came from the Beverly Grill, and I was like, no. There's a million places he could be coming from. Why would you think the Beverly Grill? So we're standing there. He walks
in. Very respectful of you, by the way.
Chad, he walks in the Beverly Grill.
Come on.
He walks in the Beverly Grill with a back pad and a butt pad. It's like two pads that he had, like what a bolster and like a and like something to sit on.
Yeah.
And it was white and it was big. And he comes back in and he gives it to his wife. His poor wife was not. He walked all the way back to the hotel from the Beverly Grill to get his wife two pillows so she'd be more comfortable at dinner.
Okay, let's just contrast. And Dave Harrigan, you come into. Think about what Adam Sandler just did for his wife. Meanwhile, Tika, who's an angel, makes a point, and Jim goes, "No, it's not that. Not that. No, it's not
the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Quiet down, woman. Men are talking."
Meanwhile, Adam Sandler's helping out. Hey, Tika, go in the corner over there. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Okay. If you thought the Wolves are going to win this series, you can't feel worse because it's 1-1. Should you feel appreciably better or should you feel about the same? What do you think?
I feel better about it. I felt good about it because, you know, I was talking to some of our analytics people and they were giving me reasons why we are a better team. Because, I mean, statistically, you look at our team and on the season, not just in little time frames, but on the season, you know, we're the fourth highest net rating team in the league. So we're playing like a top four team. Our record isn't indicative of how good we are statistically.
Because of all the close losses.
The close losses, all the, and you know, it's clutch times part of it, but it's like the end of game situation. It's like
terrible.
The last 30 seconds,
yeah.
You know? And so I just think that we were a better team. And then also, like, say what you want about the first three, you know, like, you know, obviously Luka and LeBron, and if you want to talk about Austin Reeves, he's one of the better third scoring options in the league. He's not the best, but he's one of
pretty
them.
Close.
He's fine. He's pretty good. So, like, but Minnesota has, you know, when you think about who their third option is, it's multiple people because it could be Jaden. It's probably Nas is probably the number one person who's the third highest scoring option. Well, that's statistically what he is. He's the third highest scoring option. But it can change. It can be Rudy one night. It can be Dante one night. It can be Nikhil one night. They just don't have it. 4 through 8, it's a blowout for Minnesota. Chad, I mean,
you know,
it
should be
over a 7-game series.
Not the way they played last night. It isn't, right?
No, but over a 7-game series, the best team is going to win, and I think that Minnesota's the better team.
Okay, let's talk Rudy. And I thought in game one he wasn't very good. You know, I thought in the first quarter he was awful. I was like, what is he? He was so timid. I couldn't get it. I think it's worth noting the first half of the season, he was not good. And then he was really good, like borderline great finishing the season. And I thought last night he was really good. And I talked to even two friends today who you know both well and both brought up, God, Rudy looks so bad. And I'm like, do you know what his numbers were last night? When he was isolated against LeBron, they're like, no. Well, LeBron against him last night was 0 for 4. I go, do you know what his numbers were against Luka? Yeah, 1 of 4. He can look like, you know, me and you trying to step on ice for the first time in a long time with skates. But there is a method to it. He gets on the side. He's forcing him places. He doesn't overreact. And last year, his perimeter numbers, as you know way better than me, were elite. This year, at the start of the season, they were lousy. But then they improved a lot. And just because he doesn't look flawless, it stuns me. It's not only the hatred that so many players have for him, which I just don't get, but the national types. And it's not just Draymond. I watched you last night. By the way, you should go to Twitter. The number of mutual friends of ours were talking about Kevin saying this. And again, you know where I stand on Kevin. And Reggie, I was with Grady and Pete the entire time.
I was right there.
But again, when Chuck and Shaq and Kenny, oh, Rudy can't do this. Can we ever go to data? Can we ever just go to facts as opposed to perception? Because you think a lot of guys have good numbers against Luka isolated? You think a lot of guys have good numbers against Ant isolated? When you go against top 10 players, it's not good. And his numbers are good, whether it looks smooth or not, when he's out there. Of course, you'd rather have him inside. But that's what teams are going to do. And it's not the greatest winning formula to do that on a regular basis.
Chad, let me tell you something. I mean, Luka, if you look up the metrics of Luka in isolation versus Rudy in isolation, it's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Luka is a traffic cone out there.
Awful.
I mean,
Ant was going by him a lot late.
Oh, just blowing right by him like he's standing still. Look, here's the thing, and, you know, Horton and I were talking about this when we did the game together the other day, that the Wolves have had a top-10 defense in each of the last three seasons, right? A top-10 defense.
Yep.
And they had one, Chad, in the previous 33 years. They had one. And that was the year that KG was, you know, 03-04.
Yeah.
They had one in 33 years. So Rudy's made a huge difference. And then, you know, Rudy's been a part of 9 of his last 10 seasons a top-10 defense. So, yeah. I mean, his ability to impact the game, he doesn't get nearly enough credit. And those bozos on TNT, they have no idea his value on the court because they don't watch him play.
Yeah, why do you think so many players can't stand him?
I don't know. Maybe it's because he's got some of that French sort of arrogance or something. But he's not an arrogant guy. He's a sweet guy. Rudy is one of the most thoughtful, incredible human beings. You sit there and talk to that dude. He is really, really a sweet person. He's, you know, I think he's not always the guy that's going to join in.
Yeah.
And I think that
he's a bit of a loner, like, right?
He's not aloof, but like he thinks on a higher plane. And so he's not going to, if you're going to sit there and talk about women and drinking and partying, and that's really not his thing. Like he's thinking, when am I going to get in my hyperbaric chamber? Yeah. When am I going to go meditate? When am I going to get my massage? Like he's a professional. And he's just a little bit different, but he is an incredible. And by the way, so is Julius Randle too. I've really gotten to enjoy getting to know Julius Randle. Had a number of different great, really great conversations with him. Great family man. I mean, his kids and his wife are with him all the time.
Yeah, and just had another child. Yeah,
and the baby was in L.A. with us. So like you know, he's got his family, got his kids with him, his wife with him. It's important to him, and it grounds him. And it's one of the things that's really made me like him more.
Two last things. I'd play Terrence Shannon. I would too. I liked how he did. And right before game time, tell Allen to take the game off and I'll slide over. Come on.
Nothing would make me happier, Dad.
I'll swing over and say hi to you guys at some point because you guys are great together. Same with Grady. Wolves are lucky to have all you guys. Thanks, my brother.
Okay. Thanks, Chad. Okay.
Jim, Pete, Wolves, Friday night and Sunday, Target Center. Don't forget the Wild. We talked about it a little bit in the first hour of the show. Excellent performance. Excellent. To score, again, if I'm going to sit here and lament they never score, And then they score 3 goals. They score 5 goals total. And Ryan Hartman was really good last night. And, by the way, Kirill's pass to Boldy. Did you see that little flip pass?
That worked out well.
Oh, my God. Woo! That was about as good a hockey pass as you can see. As Burnsy would say, when you got your big knockers knocking, when you got that line clicking the way they are and they got a little bit of more support, that was really good. The kid, though. Oof. The kid in Bogosian. Not good. I'll be curious what they do if they change that up in any way. RFK Jr. just won't stop. Let's discuss it when we come back. I'm a big fan of this tune.
So is YouTube.
Yeah.
I think it was top 10 among the all-time most viewed videos. Pretty good.
He's really, really good.
Oh, he's tremendous.
You can't say he's underrated because he sells out stadium shows. But if you ask people, like, who's in the group who can sell out stadiums, I don't think people think of Ed Sheeran.
I disagree.
You think they do?
I think he's plenty big enough.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of hits.
He does.
He's got a ton. And he just seems like a very down-to-earth,
100%.
Good guy.
100%. So RFK Jr., I think people know where I stand on him. He's a highly intelligent individual who has led a wild life, right? A lot of really good things he's done in his life. A lot of very bizarre partying things he's done in his life. And he has been on a quest on health for decades. And some of it, I think, are great. And any attempt to get our country to be healthier? Bravo. But he has a history of lying about autism. Pure, simple, indisputable lying about autism. Vaccines, citing studies that have been disproven over and over and over again. And then his generalizing comments, and by the way, if you don't think they're generalizing, you're wrong, because he walked him back the next day on Hannity when Hannity gave him a softball. When he talked about everybody with autism, that autism destroys families, and cited a lot of things that individuals who are autistic will never get to do. And as the unquantifiably proud father of Quentin Robert Hartman, who has autism, he was so wrong, because Quentin does many of those things. Now, if he would have said, as he did later, the 25% who have severe autism face incredible challenges that can make it hard, can make it extraordinarily hard for families, I would get it. Again, I'm divorced. Ex-wife is a great friend of mine. And when you have major trauma in your life, do divorces pop up more? Yeah, the data is overwhelming. But a family's not automatically destroyed by a divorce. Anybody thinks that, you're wrong. Our family is extraordinarily close, and the person who brings us together more than anyone, in as much as I love Hunter and Griffin, and I could not have two better sons than Hunter and Griffin, and Quentin's my hero. So I'm so lucky. Q is our link. Griffin calls, how's Quentin? Hunter calls, how's Quentin? We're always, what's Quentin doing? He brings us together. So it was just too dismissive. And yes, for those who have kids who are more severe in their autism, it is daunting. It is, there are times when I see families, because Quentin is friends with so many families with child autism, when they have it worse. And by the way, my son has a syndrome where there's no life expectancy. And last year, three kids younger than him with the same syndrome, and there's only about 700 individuals on the planet, died much younger than Quentin. So I never take a single day of Quentin for granted. But he was just generalizing. And so now he's on with Jesse Waters. You know that was going to be a hard-hitting interview. And he's responding to Waters about some of the criticism. And instead of just owning up to it and saying, I should have phrased it better, which he has at times, here's what he says.
There was a wave of anger against me because I announced that we're going to find the cause of autism. This is something that President Trump...
Just stop there, because it goes on to all these things. There isn't one person on the planet who would be mad if RFK Jr. or any person on the planet discovered why individuals are born with autism, because they don't get it from a vaccine. There's no one. What a canard. What a lie. They're mad by his previous pattern, by his words, by his generalizing, by his insults. For a guy who can be very empathetic. He can. But there's like a, there are a group of people, Dave, who are mad that someone would try to figure out why individuals are born with autism.
A lot of pro-autism groups out there. Gosh. I've seen them. Shameful.
Keep autism around. Keep autism around. Come on. He's a very smart guy. He doesn't want to acknowledge his past behavior of lies and generalizing, which is why people can get mad at him. I pointed out my tweet about it. I still want him to be incredibly successful and understand why autism is as prevalent as it is. I want to be realistic about it. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to find the solution in the fall when people have been trying forever. And I think he should look at the one person he has leading his study, because he's a quack. But just a blatant smearing. People are mad at him because he's trying to find why individuals are born with autism or a so-called cure. Who's buying that? What gullible person would be buying that?
Jesse Waters.
Jesse Waters is playing his part, and he's worth millions because he just goes along and it works. And it's a brilliant formula for Fox. But be a supporter of Donald Trump if you like. You're totally entitled to it. Believe in RFK Jr. and trying to make this country healthier. But hold him out when he's saying, people are mad at me because I'm trying to find out where people end up with autism. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of parents or friends of individuals who have autism, and we're thinking, no, let's make sure I can't help Quentin or others. Yeah, like if my son could face fewer cognitive challenges, I'd stand in front of a train and give my life for that. If I knew that with DIRK 1A, there wouldn't be kids dying as young as they are, and I don't have to walk in Quentin's bedroom every morning and just be a little fearful that something's happened, I'd give my life today. So get out of here with that lie. Do your work. Get a balanced group. Try to help the country out. Also, don't be hypocrites when RFK Jr. is trying to get people to eat healthier when you're mocking Michelle Obama for it, you know, 10 years or so. But come on, let's be honest. Dick Durbin, you should have left sooner. Let's talk about that. And then are we going to hold Russia to any sort of accountability with this deal? Is Russia giving up anything in this deal? Some national politics, then a little bit of some local politics and fun with Hauser. All lighter topics the first 90 minutes, so we can chop it up a little bit this way. You're listening to CCO. You're listening to a guy who, not today, because I'm not going to Stretch Lab every day, but I did go yesterday. I saw my guy Isaac out at Plymouth. Great. What a great person he is. And I worked we did the 25-minute session. We had a busy day. And so it was about 20 of the 25 in the upper body. Some things I've done before with other therapists and some different ones that really helped me out. That's the beauty of having so many trained specialists. Again, trained for weeks and weeks and weeks before you start working on clients like myself or Q or friends or you. Listen, at StretchLab.com. Again, StretchLab.com. 11 locations. You skip school today. You're 16. You're like, why does my parents listen to the station? And you're a hockey player. And you're about to start playing the spring, summer hockey. You want to feel better? Go to StretchLab.com. You're in your late 20s. You run marathons. Go to StretchLab.com. You're a 59-year-old trying to hang on just barely just a little bit of competitive golf. That's me. I go to StretchLab. I'd like to feel better when I play. I'd like to feel better afterwards. And, yeah, I'd like to hit that golf ball a little bit further, a little bit more consistent. All of that is available. Half off your first visit. They're great people. Promise you, you will feel better. StretchLab.com. Dick Durbin entered Congress in 1982. What year were you?
That's laughable.
What year were you born?
84.
He's going to leave after five terms in the Senate and seven terms in the House. And I know there are a lot of Democrats who really believe in him and are disappointed. But come on. This is absurd. This is ridiculous. It shouldn't be legal. Term limits. Uncle, come on. He's 80. He's 80 years old, and Democrats are praising him, okay, as a person, and they believe in a lot of his legislation. This is really what we think we should do. Have somebody enter when I was 17, and I'm now staring at 60 next month. My life's really similar. Actually, my maturity is about the same.
That's about right.
Which I like. But come on. No matter the party, we have to end this.
Yeah, and somebody, I can't remember who it was, on CBS News a couple hours ago talking about how it's a good move for the Democrats, get some new blood in there. Okay, well, How about 300 to 400 other lawmakers in D.C. from both countries or both parties make that same choice? Because we could use it. We could really use it.
And here's the last one, where, again, we're now putting, we, the administration, putting all sorts of pressure on Zelensky to get the deal done and accept the losses from 2014 with Crimea. And, again, Trump, again, going to the Islamophobia card. This was lost when Barack Hussein Obama was president. It just only playing to filth. Where, he's a Muslim. By the way, if he's a Muslim, there'd be nothing wrong with that. But he's Christian. Okay. But again, and Zelensky's saying, hey, before any of this happens, how about Russia stops bombing us during the ceasefire? And then again, I keep reading again from Vance and Rubio and Trump. They got to accept a lot of the land that Russia has garnered. They're not going into NATO. They got to give us all these minerals. What does Russia have to concede? Can we ever hear that from Donald Trump? A couple times he seems miffed, but leaves Russia with 20% of Ukraine land and now occupies, denying the membership. What is Russia giving up? Can you tell me? Have you seen it?
I think they have to stop bombing until Donald Trump is out of office. Then they can go back to it.
So what they have to do is stop killing people. They don't have to concede anything but that.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're harsh on the country that was invaded.
Oh, they started it.
They started
by being there.
It's exactly by being attacked. Interesting negotiations. Ari, CBS, next.